Hi, welcome to StanLib's weekly economic podcast. My name is Kevin Lings and I'm the chief economist within StanLib. The intention with these weekly podcasts is to unpack some of the key economic developments that have unfolded over the past week. And I think for this week, we want to focus on two key areas of discussion. The first is an update on US inflation for the month of April. The numbers were released last week, and I don't think there's anything significantly different in terms of the data, but it's useful just to stay up to date with how that is unfolding, because obviously it has important implications for the outlook for US interest rates and by implication the outlook for South African interest rates. The second area of discussion is some of the South African data that was released. We had the unemployment data for the first quarter of the year. Unemployment remains over 30%. I'll chat about that in a bit of detail. And then Standard & Poor's gave South Africa a credit rating assessment. They didn't change anything, but perhaps just highlight one or two key points that they were making. Outside of that, we have had some updated information on South Africa's economic performance during the first quarter of the year. That doesn't look particularly encouraging. In fact, it looks like it was a dismal quarter. But I guess many people are more focusing on the second quarter because of the improvement in the electricity production and looking at the outcome of the election, and could we start to see the emergence of a better economic backdrop and an improvement in confidence. So we'll chat about all of that over the next couple of minutes. US inflation for the month of April was released last week, and overall I think the numbers suggest that inflation continues to soften. The headline inflation is now down at 3.4%. The underlying or core level of inflation has moderated to 3.6%. Now, not so long ago, those numbers were well above 4 and 5%, so there has been progress, but unfortunately, not enough progress. The Federal Reserve would want to see the inflation rate move below 3%, I think, before they consider cutting interest rates, and so it's not quite at that level. What's causing inflation to remain elevated? It's mainly still the shelter component. Shelter inflation went up 0.4% in the month, which meant that year on year, shelter inflation is up at 5.5%. Now, that's down from a peak of 8.2%. So you can argue that there has been some softening of shelter inflation, but it's nowhere near the long run average. The long run average tends to be more like 3.5%. And that's what the private sector data is signaling, that shelter inflation is actually at. So I think it's a matter of time before shelter inflation moves to below a 4% level and allows the Federal Reserve to start to cut interest rates. But clearly it's not there right now, and it's going to take a little while, a few months longer, before I think we've got shelter inflation more firmly under control. The other area of concern remains motor vehicle insurance. The cost has gone up 22.6% over the past year. That's massive. And it's not a big category in terms of the weight of inflation calculation, but it matters because it's so high at 22%. Some of that obviously relates to a catch-up from COVID. Some of it appears to relate to the cost of repairing vehicles. But clearly, under these circumstances, it feels like it's quite excessive. And we would expect those numbers to soften again in the second half of the year. So we remain hopeful that inflation will systematically continue to moderate and allow the Federal Reserve to cut rates. We've still got an expectation of at least one, possibly two cuts in interest rates this year that are continued on into next year. But in order to get those cuts started, it does feel that inflation has to move below 3%. And at the same time, it would be ideal if there was a further softening of US economic activity, including a moderation in the strength of the labor market. Now, we've seen some of that materialize in the last couple of weeks. I do think it will continue on over the coming months, but I don't think we are heading towards a US recession. If I look at the data that's coming out, it's still suggesting reasonable economic growth, or perhaps not as vibrant growth as we had in recent quarters. So overall, you would say, yes, inflation is taking longer than you would expect. The economy is holding up better than you would expect. But I do think ultimately we're moving systematically closer to the point where the Federal Reserve can commence the interest rate cutting cycle. If we look at South Africa's recent economic data, I think there are a few dynamics that are worth highlighting. The first is I was looking at South Africa's key economic sectors and the performance during the first quarter of the year, and all of the sectors were negative. Mining down 1.7% in the quarter, manufacturing down 1%, retail down 0.9%. And so it's difficult to imagine that South Africa's GDP performance for the first quarter is positive. In all likelihood, we're going to have a decline in GDP outcome. At the same time, when you look at the unemployment rate, it went up further. It now sits at 32.9%. And obviously, if you then adjust it for discouraged workers, it jumps to over 40%. If we look at how many people unemployed, that rose by 330,000 during the quarter. And it's very clear that we're struggling to add jobs of any significance. If anything, what we hear back from corporates is a desire to cut costs. Corporates are only hiring if it's a critical skill area. Other than that, they're trying to take as much of the cost base out of the business as possible, and obviously that puts the labor market under further strain. Yet at the same time that we've got all of that dismal economic performance, we find that the rand has strengthened. It's strengthened considerably over the last month, gaining something like 5% against the US dollar. Now, a portion of that strength relates to dollar weakness, but it doesn't explain all of the gain in the rand. If we look at some of the dynamics that could affect the rand, there has been some foreign buying into our bond market, but I'm skeptical that that explains all of the strength. Instead, part of this appears to be the fact that people are less concerned about the outcome of the election on the 29th of May. That easing of concern seems to be coming about because the polls suggest that the ANC can now get close to 45 to 50% of the vote. And if the ANC gets that level of voter support, then it wouldn't be too problematic for them to partner with some of the smaller parties to get their total percentage over 50% and therefore continue to dominate parliament and elect the president. And so there's less anxiety about a shift in politics or a coalition that would involve the ANC partnering with the EFF for the MK party. And that seems to have encouraged some investor interest in South Africa. At the same time, we haven't had load shedding for the last something like 50 days. And clearly, that's also starting to make a difference to this economy, although we'll see it more in the second quarter data than the first quarter data. But any uplift from electricity production is clearly encouraging, and the test will be, can that be continued beyond the election? When we look at the electricity environment, it seems to be mostly a genuine improvement. My only concern is that there has been a systematic scaling back of planned maintenance, and clearly at some point I would imagine that that planned maintenance has to go up, and we could see the return of load shedding. There's been this constant debate about how much diesel Eskom is using, and the minister keeps assuring us that that usage is actually considerably lower than what it's been in the past. So this feels like it is a genuine improvement in electricity production in South Africa, wherever it's coming from, and that's good news in terms of our economic prospects going forward. And so we're quietly becoming a little bit more confident about where South Africa could go in the second half of the year. That confidence is coming about because partly we're going to be off a very low base, and therefore it's not difficult to get better growth dynamics, but it's also partly because hopefully by then we've got more comfort in terms of the political outcome, more assurance in terms of where policy is going, which will hopefully include a greater use of private-public partnerships, and more encouragement in terms of infrastructure development, which critically I think will include Eskom, but then other areas of Transnet. And so that could give us a bit of an uplift into the second half of the year and into the next couple of years. And from my perspective, the equity market is already responding to that. Now, I think some of that response is directly to things like the gold price and some of the other commodity stocks. So I'm not naive in thinking that this is a genuine uplift to South African equities based on an improvement in South Africa's prospects. But I do think that in that mix, there is more optimism about South Africa, and that from a valuation point of view, our markets have been attractive. From a valuation point of view, the currency has been attractive. And just maybe there's some interest finally in South Africa after many years of being an underperformer. And so I think quietly there is a higher degree of optimism developing. There's still a significant unease about the election outcome, so we've still got to get past that. But hopefully, once we get past that and we can see a settling down of the political and policy environment, then South Africa can start to make more genuine strides in lifting the growth rate closer to the 3% level and then trying to reduce this unemployment rate, which has been sticky at around the 30 to 35% for many years. So that's all from me from this week. Hope it makes some sense, and we'll catch up in a week's time. Cheers for now.